Now, if you're here, this is your first day, let me just kind of give you a recap. For the last 5 weeks, we've been looking at the final words of Jesus while he hung on the cross, and we've been considering their implication for our lives. Now, today we're going to be considering the statement that Jesus made about his mom. He made it, obviously, about Mary, and since today is Mother's Day, I thought it was very fitting. Now, as you're turning there to John chapter 19, I want us to read in verse 23, because verse 23 is going to kind of set the stage of exactly what was going on before he made the statement that he does about his mom. So John chapter 19, verse 23, I hope you'll kind of follow along with me in your Bible or the note sheet that I included in your worship guide. Just silently read along with me. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it. This fulfilled the scripture that says, they divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing. So that is what they did. And so here in these verses, we see the first vantage point. And it's the vantage point of the Roman soldiers. Imagine the scene. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He had endured already so much. And yet there, as he's suffering and all the anguish that he's enduring both of body and soul, you look down from the cross and you see the soldiers and they're playing games. They're dividing his clothes. And then they're gambling for his robe. And unknowingly, they're fulfilling ancient prophecy. Because it was prophesied that they would gamble for his clothing. And that's what they were doing. Verse 25, however, gives us another vantage point. And it's the vantage point of the four women who are standing near the cross. Check it out. Verse 25. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple whom he loved. That's a reference to the Apostle John. He said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And he said to this disciple, here is your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. So here's the scene. Again, I hope you'll let it fill your mind. The first vantage point is that of the Roman soldiers. They're playing games. Jesus is dying. Second, while he's dying, his mom and three other women, no doubt they're bawling their eyes out. They're weeping and they're wailing. They're grieving. It's a horrible sight to look upon. A person that had been beat and abused and crucified, humiliated, stripped naked, to hang for all the world to see. So that's the scene, and so here's Christ. He's enduring all of that. He's suspended high above all the others. He's able to see everything. The soldiers playing games, and he's also able to see the women grieving and crying their eyes out, all emotionally torn up. And it's a heartbreaking, it's a gut-wrenching sight, as I said earlier. Now, I want you to think about it as a mom. Moms, put yourselves in Mary's shoes. Can you imagine seeing with your own eyes, being there in the moment, and that's your baby being tortured. That's your boy being abused and mistreated, being executed, and you know he's not guilty, that he didn't deserve this, and yet he is enduring it. Imagine how hard that would be. It's massive for Mary to take it all in. And yet in that moment, Jesus still makes time, despite all that he's going through, to care for his mom. Look at verse 26 again. When Jesus sees his mother standing there beside the disciple that he loved, he said to her, dear woman, here is your son. And he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her, Mary, into his home. Now there's four ways. And I hope you'll write these down today in the note sheet that I provided you. There's four ways that Jesus expresses care for his mother. And if Jesus, who was the perfect child, expresses care for his mother, then how much more should we? First, write this down. I want you to notice that verse 26 tells us that he saw his mother. He saw her. He looked down from that cross, and there she was. She was a real person. She had real emotions. And she's with Jesus all the way to the end. She never bails on him. Don't you think there's a reason the other disciples kind of ran and forsook him? They were scared for themselves. And yet there's Mama. There's three other ladies right there at the cross. They don't care. The Roman soldiers see that they are with him. They didn't bail on him. And there she is with tears. And what a great testimony of the deity of Jesus. I thought this was an interesting point that I discovered while I was studying for this message. Jesus had been just a scam. Surely of all people, his mother would have spoke up so that her boy wouldn't have had to endure and to suffer like he did. But there she is, only with tears. You see, she knew who he was. She knew why he'd come. Somebody's phone. She knew why he was on that cross. She remembered the prophecy that Simeon had made long ago. By the way, let's just stop. If you might turn your phone off, because they're going to come in stages. Those alarms. It's all right. Mine went off this morning, and then my wife's went off like 10 minutes later. So, anyways. So she knows why Jesus is there. She remembers the prophecy. It said this in Luke chapter 2, verse 34. Simeon had prophesied this about Christ. Verse 34 says, "Then Simeon blessed them. And he said to Mary, the baby's mother, 'This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him.'" This is what I want you to see in verse 35 of this prophecy. "As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." And in that moment, no doubt, that's what it felt like for Mary to watch her son take all of this abuse and to be executed on a cross. It's tearing her apart. He sees how concerned she is for him. It's just amazing to me how 20 years of ministry, I've seen a lot of children, even grown ones, act like they're blind, like they can't see their mothers. The choices and the bad decisions and their own stubborn rebellions at times, it tears their mothers up and they can see it, but it's like they don't see it. It's like they're blind to it. But not Jesus. He sees his mother. He sees what she's going through and it saddens him. And before you can really, I think, understand what someone's going through and really care for someone, you have to see them first. To recognize that they're there, that they're a real person with a real life, with real hurts and pains, and good days and bad days. Jesus sees Mary here. Secondly, I want you to see that Jesus cared for his mom and that he didn't allow his circumstances to be an excuse for not showing care. Man, think about what he had endured. If anybody could have made an excuse, you think about all that he was going through, all the circumstances that had come his way, and yet he still takes time to care for his mom. If anybody could have said, "I'm busy, hey, I'm too sick, I don't feel up to it, I don't have the time," surely it was Jesus, but no. Even in the midst of his suffering, he thinks of others. We saw it from some of the other statements that he made on the cross. Remember the criminal? He takes time and he talks to the criminal and he says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Remember the people that were hurling insults at him? He's praying, "Father, forgive them." He's worried and concerned about others while he is enduring all the pain, not allowing his circumstances to be an excuse. Here it's about his mom. Think about the fourth commandment. It talks about how we're to honor our mothers and fathers. This is what Jesus is doing here. Again, circumstances for him would not be an excuse. And I think about this country and specifically church people a lot of times. We're really good at making excuses, aren't we? Oh, now our excuses, they sound really good. They sound really holy. Reminds me back in Matthew chapter 15 of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were accusing Jesus and his disciples of breaking their traditions. And so Jesus says this back to him in Matthew 15, verse 3. He says, "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother. Anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say, it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition." In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, you're pointing your fingers at us about breaking a tradition, and yet you're full of excuses. You are violating a direct command of God. By the way, it's one of the Ten Commandments. You're dishonoring your mother and father, and you've made excuses. Basically, you're acting like you don't care. And this was their excuse. They would say, hey, I'm going to vow this to God. Sounds really spiritual. Sounds really holy. See, that was a lot of their point. This was the Pharisees' mindset. They were more concerned about their outward reputation. Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, they wanted to appear righteous, while at the same time disobeying a direct command of God. Here's the bottom line. They were dishonoring their parents. They were shucking their responsibility. They weren't looking after them like they were supposed to. And yet they had their excuses. They had their circumstances. They had all their justifications of why they could get by with dishonoring their mother and father. And yet Jesus, in his agonizing pain, he sees his mother. He knows his responsibility as the eldest son. And he wants to look after her. He wants to take care of her. That's the next thing. I want you to write it down. How does he care for his mom? Well, he makes provision for her needs. He makes provision for her needs. Look at verse 27 again. He says this, "Here is your mother," to John. "And from then on, the disciple," that's John, "took Mary into his home." So Jesus looks down and says, "John, hey, take care of her. I'm not going to be around. Look after her." I like this thought here, is that Jesus was telling John to look after my mom as if she were your own mom. She's going to be sad, John. She's going to have lonely days. Take care of her. Now, I find initially when you read this a little bit odd that Jesus would ask John to take care of Mary, because after all, Jesus was not an only child. You know, after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary had other children. So where are they at? Well, scholars have told us that it may have been back in Galilee where Jesus and Mary were from. And Jesus, they're in Jerusalem, you know, for the crucifixion, for resurrection. You follow even the book of Acts. A lot of important things take place in Jerusalem. So maybe Jesus, in his foreknowledge, he knew, you know, they're going to be in this area. So John, you need to look after, because they, at this time, his brothers and sisters didn't believe in him, that he was truly Messiah. So they may have stayed back in Galilee. That's one thought. It's also interesting to think about, like, where is Joseph at? And again, all the scholars that I can read, they seem to think that by this point Joseph had passed away. And so he no longer was in the picture, because really you don't hear of Joseph really after the event where Jesus is 12 and they go to the temple. And so it's like he had passed away. So Jesus here, he's encountering this horrible death on a cross, and his brothers and sisters, they're not even there. It's like they let Mary fend for herself. And so there, at the cross, Jesus appoints John. He says, "You're here. Take care of my mom. Look after her." And what he's doing here is he's making provision for his mother. Think about it. While he's making eternal provision for us, he's also making physical and emotional provision for his mom. I think that's a beautiful thought. That's why he's caring for his mother. What an example to us. And then when you think about these three ways, when they combine together, they express the fourth way that Jesus cared for his mom. I hope you'll write it down. He assures his mother of his love. Again, even in this darkest hour, he remained faithful to his responsibilities as a son. He sees John. He says, "John, take care of her as you would your own mother." And if you look in verse 27 again, he says to John, "Here is your mother." And from then on, the disciple took her into his home. And John takes care of her. You read in the book of Acts, and you see Mary's there with the disciples, and we know John's looking after her. And I'm sure that as his brothers and his sisters believed in him, we know that happened after the resurrection of Jesus. I'm sure they kind of maybe assumed some of that responsibility as they started ministry in Jerusalem in those areas. But it seems to be at least a gap here where John's kind of looking after her. And I think there's really something infinitely moving about the fact that even in the midst of Jesus' agony, as he's dying, as he's providing salvation, he thinks about his mom in the coming days. Not just now, but look after her for the future. Again, Jesus never forgot his duties that laid at his hand. He was her eldest son, and he knew, even in the moment of his constant battle, I have to care for my mom. I care for her. I want to provide for her. And again, what an example that we can follow from the Lord Jesus. What kind of care can we show our moms today? What kind of example could we follow from Jesus here of how to take care of our moms? Where we don't allow our excuses and circumstances to cause us to neglect our moms. It doesn't cause us to not make provision for them. You know, there's going to come a day where our parents, they may not be able to take care of themselves. And we have to look after them. And I remember I was talking to my mom, a couple years ago. She used to work at a nursing home. And she was heartbroken because there were so many folks, especially if their parents developed Alzheimer's, that they would put their parents in and then the care would really disintegrate. And a lot of families wouldn't come in and see their relatives or their moms or their dads when things like that happened. And it was just heartbreaking. And that's just not right. You know, whether they know you or not, they're still related to you and you need to show that care and compassion. Not allowing excuses to cause you to neglect your responsibility. This is the example that Jesus set for us. To care for our mothers. To make provision for them. To assure them of our love. What better day to do that than today? I hope you'll take some time today, if your mom's still around, to pick up the phone or even go visit her and tell her you love her and you appreciate her. Would you bow your heads with me?